Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
Greetings and welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Ben Reichle is with me every Friday, so we're glad to say he is on board. Happy New Year, sir. Welcome
back. Happy New Year. Good to be here.
Appreciate that. And it is Financial Friday, so we're glad to say that Bob Garrett is here, President and CEO of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. So, welcome aboard, sir.
Always a pleasure, Mark.
Glad you are here. And Sue Green is here. She is from Penn State. She's chair of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, a senior learning strategist from Penn State University. So welcome aboard, Sue. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Mark. Good morning and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for all your help keeping those executives educated up there, making sure that everybody knows how to become an even smarter business leader. All the men and women who take these Penn State education programs end up as the CEO. You see, they're the folks that have the houses in the Hamptons and are just
the Hamptons?
Titans.
Hamptons are in Lewisburg.
Either both, some of them.
Okay.
So we appreciate that. So thank
they're
you
all over,
for
Mark.
Coming on board. Okay, so let's look at the jobless numbers. Let's get some reaction.
Exciting.
Oh, what did we hear there, Ben? What's the jobless rate? I'm ashamed to admit that I didn't have my headphones on yet. So
jobs created, 145. They were looking around 150. But, again, this will probably be adjusted in February, so we don't know the real number, but pretty positive number. And unemployment stayed at 3.5. I think the which now they're finally talking about is if you look at the rate, almost a 3% compensation rate.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, what's interesting about the numbers, I thought, Ben, was they're so close to what the economists thought they were going to be.
Yeah.
So I think really that the subtitle or the sub-story here is that the economy ended strong, and that's what we were looking to see. How did 2019 wrap up? And it ended strong. You know, most of last year we talked about the unemployment rate was at a 50-year low. I guess with the dropping of the ball in Times Square, we're now at a 51-year low.
Yeah, we should be.
So
I think the big point, if you look at 2018 coming into 2019, the Fed was in chaotic mess, because they were talking about four interest rate increases in 2019. The stock market took a nosedive. I think it was 631 points, plus or minus there. So at the end of December, there was some volatility. The president and the administration stepped in and discussed things with the Fed. And finally, you know, again, how the Fed could predict that we would be at Churchill Downs or a number of horse racing tracks, and we'd all be making money if the Fed was that
good.
Buy
a lotto. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah. So you look what the administration stepped in and did, and then look what 2019 also. And I know we might get more into this, or depending on how the show goes, I think it shows the strength of the United States economy. The resilience that came through in 2019, even though, like I said, 2018 was questionable, because all the things that are going on, the geopolitical movement, all the Iranian stuff, you know, the domestic political charades with impeachment, look how the stock market and the economy has stayed stable and has grown. So that shows how some of this is very diminished when it comes to the reality of what's going on. Oil right now, with everything that was going on, would be probably towards $100 a barrel.
Wow.
Now, it is high in that 60 range.
Right.
You know, but you know, remember, there used to be middle management. Political people in Israel or in Iran or Iraq would sneeze and say something about oil, and oil would jump $5.
Right, right.
But look what's going on, and look at the stability that's happened. And key, I believe, energy independence of the United States. That is the straw that's stirring the economic drink.
Well, you know, it's the other interesting thing that we heard, and maybe it'll be a homework assignment for us, Ben, will this idea of the effective unemployment rate.
Yes.
That was very interesting. You know, as I get into conversations with folks about the unemployment rate in the greater Susquehanna Valley, and we have, you know, usually have very good conversations about that, I point out to them that I cannot identify an employer that is a member of the chamber who is paying the federal unemployment rate. If you're paying that, you're not keeping your employees.
No. And
they're
going
to be going on to other places.
Sue, you can look at this. Look at the continuing education or the executive education, where companies are now coming to you and say, hey, we got to train our employees, A, to keep them, A, to move them up. And because bringing somebody in and starting to train them from number two so they can get to the number eight position, mm-hmm. is, you know, we don't lose them at number four.
Right.
Well, and then the other thing was they pointed out on CBS News, so that was not news that leans to the right or necessarily to the left, but what they pointed out was the biggest gains in 2019 were among entry-level wage earners.
Entry-level, mid-level earners.
And that's where the big wage growth has been. Now, they pointed to some of the state initiatives that have mm-hmm. moved that wage. I would say that really it's as much state initiatives as it is the economy itself. Folks know that as soon as you get your folks trained or get them into the positions, get their paperwork filled out, all those sort of things, you've got to start moving them pretty quickly or you're going to lose them.
Yeah.
I have a lot of employers that tell me that, geez, I thought I had a great employee. The first week was training. The second week, they got their paycheck. The third week, they went to a new job.
Mm-hmm. And, well, that's because you were paying them $15 an hour and the other guy's paying $16 an hour.
Right, you know. We can do that math. Right, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
well,
just
I mean,
the way
if you're a working class dog and you don't care where you spend the 8 hours, you know, you're not maybe invested in a career, you're just looking for the best wage. You know, it's kind of like you hear in Harrisburg, they're yakking and yakking and yakking about raising the minimum wage. Well, there's, 73 people in Pennsylvania earning the minimum wage right now?
Yeah.
You know, so all of that is for naught. Sue, observations about this? We seem to be enjoying a rock-solid economy by nearly every measure that I can detect.
I agree. And, you know, the other thing that they mentioned is the average rate wage was $12 an hour.
Right.
Which I thought was interesting. I don't know how that's...
Effective minimum wage.
Thank you very much.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah, so I talk about $15 and $16 an hour and people kind of making the shift and spending some time or not even coming back the next week. You know, we don't see or hear as much of that anymore. I don't hear it anyway because we were really busy. You know, I didn't have a slow holiday. People were calling saying, listen, we really want to do some training and get people moving. And so, yeah, it's been good, you can tell.
Well, and your operation, more executives, these men and women that go for this additional training, that is an economic indicator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, companies have the money to pay them. They know they're going to be around in the long run. They know these individuals, if you take good care of them and train them up and pay them well, that they'll stay.
Sure.
So those are all positive indicators? And you've seen more enrollment and more signups and
so
on?
We do. And even just, you know, in the next tiers down. You know, just trying to make sure that the succession plan works. So mm-hmm. we're excited to see some of this happening.
All right. Well, the U.S. labor participation rate is totally flat.
Yeah. Well, it's bouncing along the bottom, as you like to call it.
Actually, this time it's stable. It's 63.2 and 63.2, the two numbers.
Is that an outlier or is that just a... liar.
I think that's the new normal. Is that not the new normal?
Because
you've got
a
lot of baby boomers who say that we're not going back to work.
Yeah. There's no need because their 401ks in the last 3 years, their investments have
their
proven to themselves.
Their spouse is working.
Well, spouse can still,
I guarantee it.
I know two or three people whose spouses are working and they have jobs that pay the medical and you know, they can bridge the gap till Medicare. I think the participation rate probably needs redefining so it can be understood in this economy.
Our economist tells us that the big indicator of that participation rate isn't on the end of people's careers. It's at the beginning. There's still a lot of folks staying on the sidelines. you know, entrepreneurial, possibly, you know, playing video games in mom and dad's basement, however you want to call it. But there's still way too many folks who have that skill gap that we talk about all the time that aren't joining into the current labor force because they don't have the right set of skills to get into the labor force. They may have the ability to do the job. They just have chosen not to do that for whatever reason.
Is part of that skill work ethic?
Well, motivation might be another word for it.
I don't know. Work ethic things. Well, I mean, you know, you sort of hold it. This is what do you sort of do. Now, you might program in your basement at 2 in the morning, but, you know, you have the work ethic to go and do something.
Yeah, you don't work, you don't eat, yes. Sort of thing. Yeah, right. Yeah. Is it ethic or is it urgency? I don't know. There's just not sense of urgency to get out there and get to work.
An inertia problem?
Yeah.
Well, that's it. And if you're well taken care of and you're not starving to death and you don't have an interest in getting on what I would refer to as the treadmill of a 9-to-5 or a working class job.
Is there a 9-to-5 job anywhere except maybe government?
9-to-5.
I mean, a true 9-to-5 job.
I guess not. I guess somebody's got to be working 9-to-5 somewhere. Not at schools.
I know Dolly Parton's singing about it.
Maybe talk to the high school principal this week. He gets to work at 6 in the morning down at Chickalemy, so he's 6-to-4-ish, something in that range.
Yeah, except when there's school board meetings, and then he's 6-to-9-ish.
Right.
Or 10-ish.
Yeah, our reporter was still here last night at 10 o'clock, so they had a big meeting at Chickalemy. All right, well, we would invite you to comment on this, but you're going to have to go into a stall mode. We're going to have a fabulous guest calling in, not specifically about the economy and the jobless numbers, but talk about women, making sure that women run for office. Women in politics is going to be our discussion coming up shortly here. So we'll take our prescribed break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking to one of the leaders of Pennsylvania's women empowering and training and helping programs to make sure that women get involved in elected office. That'll be coming up shortly.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, 1-800-795-9565 is going to be our open phone. We have one caller who is on that line now. She is Dr. Dana Brown. She's Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Center for Women in Politics at Chatham University. She's an Assistant Professor of Political Science. And I thank you so much for calling in, Dr. Brown. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
I do appreciate that. Tell us about the Pennsylvania Center for Women and Politics. Sounds like just a fabulous group that's most likely making a big difference in Pennsylvania and this East Coast.
Thank you so much. So we are a nonpartisan center that's entirely focused on educating and empowering women for public leadership. And we do that largely through our educational programs, one of which is our Ready to Run campaign training, which we offer both in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. And that training is a one-day, one-stop shop for all that you may need to know about how to run a campaign. And we've had kind of really good success rates so far in terms of teaching women the skills to be successful on the campaign trail. And we're really, really proud of that work.
Why is it so important that we have equal representation of women in our public leadership roles?
So just drawing upon the political science literature, we know that when women are at the table, that they bring a different perspective, a different lived experience. And that definitely shows in terms of the public policy that comes out of legislatures that are more diverse in terms of gender. So, for example, we know that bipartisanship actually increases when we have women, at least probably about 30% of the legislature. We also know that they are more likely to work across the aisle on issues of care, whether it's working for funding for veterans or family leave, that those issues of care tend to be of prominence to both women, you know, across the aisle. And we did a study, actually, of the Pennsylvania legislature just a few years ago, and we found that women on both sides of the aisle were more successful in terms of getting numbers of co-sponsorships for their bills and then actually getting it across the finish line to the governor's desk. So on those measures and transparency, bipartisanship, and constituent service, we know that women legislators are extremely strong.
And women still need opportunities and maybe some additional education or motivation or interest in this or inspiration or mentoring. I mean, somebody may say, well, we do have some women in public office. We're lucky enough around here to have a super state representative. So, but if someone says, well, women can already do whatever they want, what do you say to that?
Right. So in terms of Pennsylvania, we're ranked 32nd in the nation right now in terms of the percentage of women serving in our state legislature. And 32nd out of 50 is not terribly bad. And that's mostly due to the 2018 election where we had definitely a year of the woman. So we're definitely seeing a strong pick up in terms of the representation, the actual numbers of women serving in office. But we just find that historically, because Pennsylvania has lagged behind in terms of women's representation, that teaching women the skills, you know, the educational piece is extremely important. For so long, political parties have been recruiting men to run. And so what we try to do is stage a bit of a political slash educational intervention just to equip women with the tools, because they are certainly interested. I mean, since 1980, women have been outvoting men. So women are registered to vote. They are voting at really high rates. It's just that next piece, right, in terms of civic engagement. And that, is, again, it's not because they're not interested. There's a lot of institutional barriers at play in the state of Pennsylvania. And so we just want to equip women with those skills to be successful.
Dr. Brown, this is Bob Garrett. I'm the president and CEO of the Chamber of Commerce, and I'm happy to let you know that during our Governmental Affairs Committee meeting last Friday, we voted to partner with you for your Ready to Run campaign training for women. But I wanted to give you a little background. The Chamber has, for 26 years now, has supported a organization called Leadership Susquehanna Valley, and the whole idea of Leadership Susquehanna Valley is to develop a farm team, if you will, of potential candidates to run for everything from township supervisor or zoning hearing officer. That's an appointed position, but from township supervisor to governor of Pennsylvania, that the governor part hasn't worked yet. But all those other positions, there's a lot of leadership Susquehanna Valley grads in that. We have we've partnered for many, many years with the Lewisburg League of Women Voters. They do a training program how to run for public office, but we have never actually had this opportunity before to partner with someone like the Pennsylvania Center for Women in Politics on Ready to Run. Can you tell us a little bit about that training program, where it's going to be, how it happens, how the folks get registered, all those sort of things?
Sure. Well, thank you so much for the support and the partnership. That's really exciting news to share. In terms of the training, it occurs in Philadelphia at Jefferson University's East Falls campus on Saturday, February 8th. If folks are interested in registering, they can just go to the center's website, which is pcwp.org, and right there on the homepage, they'll see the Ready to Run logo, and they can just click on that, and it'll take them through the registration process. And so it's a really packed day, I'll be really honest. It's a busy day. We start off with a session on women of color in Pennsylvania politics. So we can particularly address the different challenges that women of color may face on the campaign trail. And then we have a keynote by Congresswoman Madeline Dean. And then we move right on into developing a campaign plan. And then basically throughout the day, then we disaggregate that developing a campaign plan. We have a session on fundraising, of course, because you can't run an ad without advertising dollars. You'll spend a session on public speaking and media engagement. And, of course, in Pennsylvania, the political parties are extremely important. So we take some time out to do a session just on political parties and how one would navigate that if that's their desire, right? If they want to go for an endorsement, what does that look like? So that's kind of like what the day is in a nutshell. So we're very much focused on skills building. It truly is nonpartisan. We have women from both sides of the aisle in terms of speakers, but then certainly in terms of attendees as well.
All right, Ben?
Dr. Brown, this is Ben Reichle. Just a quick question. When you talk about the skills and the education needed, are there that degree of differences between younger men, older men, younger women, older women?
No. So what we find, though, is that a lot of folks will come to us, mostly women, of course, because that's what we focus on, but some men as well, and say, you know, it's not really intuitive how to run for office, right? I may be a really strong volunteer and community leader, but I'm not necessarily sure how to work on that campaign piece, right? And so we just try to make those skills accessible, and we remind folks that it's teachable, right? We can teach you how to fundraise if that's not intuitive to you, if you haven't done it before. We can teach you how to handle media requests, potentially. We can teach you some of those things. So do not necessarily count yourself out as an elected official or possible elected official simply because you've never done it before, and that you find those campaign pieces to be challenging. So that's what we try to do. We just want to make it accessible and open to as many people who do want to serve the public.
Okay. Dr. Brown, coming back here to me, to Bob Garrett, I did want to tell you that my chair person, Sue Green, had to step out, but she did want me to pass along to you an invitation that in the future, if we can ever host one of your training classes here in central Pennsylvania, we'd be happy to do that. Sue is with Penn State University, so she wanted me to mention that. My question, though, specifically to you is this, is what are the rookie mistakes, if you will, that your training can help women or help any candidate learn the easy way rather than through the College of Hard Knocks? They can come to the Ready to Run training and learn what are some mistakes that typically folks make in campaigns who have never gone through a political campaign before.
Well, for example, we'll spend some time on the fundraising piece. You know, that's top of mind because that's one that we hear a lot from for first-time candidates. That is the most concerning, if that's the right word, but that's the one that they seem the most hesitant about. And so we go over examples of actually how to do an in-person ask, right? If you're going to ask somebody for a $100 donation, a $500 donation, whatever it may be, what you consider to be a big ask, and go over some best practices. One of the things that we find that really trips people up is, honestly, when you're asking folks for money for the campaign, there's a tendency, I would say particularly by women, to ask and then immediately sort of fill that silence with some nervous chatter or immediately start walking back the ask. Like, oh, can you support my campaign at $100? And then a woman might immediately say, or 50. If you can't do 100, maybe you could do 50, and sort of negotiate themselves down in person with that person sitting across the table. So we just try to give some best practices and hope that serves them well on the campaign trail.
All right. Give us the details of how to get more information. We're just about out of time, but we'll need the chatham.edu and other information you want us to know in our closing moment here.
Great. So again, the Ready to Run campaign training is Saturday, February 8th at Jefferson University East Falls campus. And you can go online to chatham.edu/readytorun or pcwp.org for the registration details.
We get a quick question, Doc.
Yeah,
can you tell us where Chatham University actually is?
Pardon me?
Where Chatham University located?
Oh, yeah. So we're located in Pittsburgh.
Good.
So the southwestern corner. Yeah. But we are statewide, so we try to offer our trainings in different locations.
All right. Well, thank you so much for checking in. You have an open mic here anytime. When you do partner with the chamber, please come and visit us in person. I only have about 1,000 more questions for you, so I'd love to deliver them in person at the soonest possible opportunity. Thank you, Dr. Brown.
Thanks so much for having me.
I do appreciate that. Dr. Dana Brown, Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Center for Women and Politics in Pittsburgh, Assistant Professor of Political Science at Chatham University, talking about their ready-to-run campaign training for women's event that is coming up next month in Philadelphia. Of course, chatham.edu, a fabulous place to start to get connected with them. Well, I hope she does take Bob up on the offer to partner locally. I just think these important women topics need to be brought up and talked about more and more and more, and we hope to do it on this show, even though Ben says there's more women than men in the workplace, a lot of workplaces today.
Hey, let's put the skilled people out there.
Right, absolutely. All right, so we're going to continue this conversation. We get a lot more words with Bob Garrett coming up. We said goodbye to Sue Green. This is WDKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark
people's
Lawrence
lives.
And Ben Reichle.
Okay. Great team. We're going to make a difference in people's lives.
Well, that's what they do. It's value added.
Sound
this next hour
goal.
Is going to be value added. We're going to make a... We're going to make a difference in people's lives, and maybe even ours.
I start out every morning saying that. Let's make a difference. Let's make a difference in the world. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. It is the 10th day of January, 2020. Ben Reichle is with us, local business person. He is the owner of...
No.
Of his 200th of a share of a fine local company, LB Waters. So
234 people.
Republican committee person, correct?
Still on the Republican committee. Bob Garrett and I go back to, Fairchild election in 87, 88 in
it
there.
Would be an even number, 88, I guess.
And then into the Ridges and the Santorums and the
Did you do the 86 Bill Scranton, governor?
Very limited, very limited. But, but just an American, Mark. Proud to be from Snyder County, Pennsylvania, in America.
You hit the jackpot when you endorsed Mr. Fred Keller, because now look at him. You guys thought he would make a great committee person and a great state legislature, legislator, then congressman.
Fred is a little bit of the Mr. Smith goes to Washington, but I think... couple more Fred Kellers on the Republican side, a couple more Fred Keller likes on the Democratic side, and I think they can get something done in Washington. But a good, we just had the guest on earlier in the first half hour. I'm pretty gender neutral. If you can do the job, but I will say this, I wish our state legislator, I wish our school boards, our municipalities, I wish the diversity was more in experience, meaning a housewife brings that experience, a owner who's a female or an owner who's a man brings that experience, a school teacher, male or female, brings that experience. I think the diversity is more experience than it is gender and race in my book. I think there's a lot of positives going on, and the chamber is certainly involved in helping people gain experience and also understand what opportunities are out there.
On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open, 1-800-795-9565. It's Financial Friday, so Bob Garrett's hanging around. Sue Green, she had already jammed this into a busy Friday, so she had to scoot to the next event, but we're so glad we did get some insights from her, one of their chief strategists there, and so we really appreciate that insight. You can call us now, 1-800-795-9565. Email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. We got some things we got to cover in a short amount of time, Bob.
Well, you know, the first thing I want to cover is geography. At the end of that last session, Ben asked the Dr. Brown what the where's Chatham University in Pittsburgh, yeah. a predominantly women's college in Pittsburgh. Folks may not be familiar with Thomas Jefferson University East Falls campus. It's right between Manayunk and Germantown in Philadelphia. And if you would have been there 2 years ago, it would have been called Philadelphia University. And if you would have been there 10 years ago, it would have been called the Philadelphia College of Textiles. Oh, and interestingly, textile, now yeah. I'm going to make another connection for you. It's where my youngest daughter happened to graduate, and my son-in-law graduated from Philadelphia University. We were there one day, and we're sitting in the cafeteria and going over to the next room, and we went by the Hank Truslow room. Mm. So there's a Sunbury connection.
Here.
That's where Hank had the textiles, of course, had a room dedicated to him at Philadelphia University, now Thomas Jefferson University East Falls campus.
So it's so Thomas Jefferson. Okay, and then if folks who go way back will remember Philadelphia Textile in college basketball used to come up and play Susquehanna, then Crusaders, and Susquehanna had a great point guard named Mike Scheib, and I believe won the award for under 6 foot, but tremendous. But yeah, Philadelphia Textile has now changed to Thomas Jefferson.
And Geisinger wisely chose to partner with Thomas Jefferson University on nursing programs and vice versa, the university sending students here for learning as well.
Fabulous. Yeah, right. I know that they have a very strong like a nurse practitioner and PA program at Thomas Jefferson.
Is that a cultural exchange?
Well,
we'll take you from the city and take you up to the country?
It's called Available Eager Docs Who Want to Teach at Geisinger,
and
they're
great.
Looking for more students. You know, so now when you see a Geisinger doc leading rounds, you've probably seen them on TV. They have a half a dozen students.
So,
you can see a Geisinger doc that'll have two dozen students in tow, and it's just fabulous to see that learning happen.
But then some of those docs have to drive around the block a couple times to try to find that pretzel vendor that's selling it off the curb.
Right. If they absolutely
Philly.
Positively can't wait to get back to Philadelphia
like
for that. Chamber's got tons going on. So let's finish our jobless conversation first. Just unemployment numbers. Anything else about this?
Well, the headline I would like to point out from what we heard as far as the jobless numbers go is that we ended 2019 a strong year, averaged about 175,000 jobs per month all year long, ended with a positive wage growth. 3% wage growth is that's 2.9, if you will, year over year, that's non-inflationary, yet that's a nice pay increase. In fact, it was my pay increase for this past year.
So
the other key thing was that we'll really start to focus on, Mark, and I didn't mean to interrupt, but is this effective minimum wage. I'm going to do some research between this show and the February show and see what I can find out as far as the effective minimum wage here in the greater Susquehanna Valley. Minimum wage is hotly debated. Mm-hmm. And the chamber, I've tried to make this crystal clear to everyone, is that the chamber is not thrilled. You know, we have a cost of doing business initiative, imperative, if you will. And that is that we want to try to keep the cost of businesses down. But if businesses are organically growing minimum wage, not the one that the government demands you pay, the one that actually is paid is $12, we're right where we need to be. So I want to check that out.
Yeah, if that's the market, that's the market.
Yeah, right. And, you know, the beauty of that is that, you know, for those first few days on the job, that first week on the job where, let's be honest, you're somewhat unproductive, you're in your training, you're going through, you're reading the personnel manual for the first 3 days you're there, those kind of things, which, you know, most employers, including the Chamber of Commerce, you don't do any work at the Chamber until you tell me you've read the personnel manual and you've signed off that you've read it and you understand it. So, you know, maybe it makes sense in that training wage, particularly for unskilled employees, to be paid closer to the federal minimum wage. But then if the effective minimum wage becomes $12 an hour, $15 an hour, we like that. That's good for everybody.
If you're reading a training manual, a policy manual, I'm talking about detailed stuff. You're not making minimum wage. If you're being told here are the policies and here are this and this is the general orientation, you might be. But, you know, like I said, minimum wage are entry-level wages, and it allows employers to bring in unskilled and get them to a skilled level. It's part-time for the most part. And it's, like I said, a step up. So the confusion on minimum wage and then people putting a living wage out, I always looked at this, you know, tell me what a living wage is. And then most of the people can't define it. Now, maybe we can have somebody call us in, do a little research, and find out what they think a living wage is. Because it's the same thing as affordable housing. What's affordable housing and what's living wages? Give me geography, Mark. A living wage in central Pennsylvania, similar to a living wage in the east side of Manhattan, the south side of Miami Beach, affordable housing.
Well, I can buy a house for $20,000 in some towns around here. So, yes. And it's not even a fixer upper.
If you buy a $20,000 in some places,
and if you are listening to your chamber members, are you hearing that more of them are giving out more wage increases to keep people? I don't think there's any chamber members that are paying any minimum wage, you know, like the $7 an hour one. But are you hearing that, A, they're upping their wages, or are you hearing from somebody that says, you know, I don't give out a lot of wages, you know, I'm on the margin as it is.
Right. I would not identify by name any chamber member, but I can tell you that in my surveys that I've done, in the prep surveys I do with employers, I have not been able to identify an employer in the greater Susquehanna Valley that the minimum wage is where they begin their employees. I haven't found one. On the federal minimum wage, when I talk about minimum wage, I'm talking about the federal minimum wage. What my experience has been, Mark, is that it's closer to that effective minimum wage. Now, keep in mind, in the greater Susquehanna Valley, we have lots of different businesses. You know, an amusement park has a different set of rules than a restaurant has, who has a different set of rules from a manufacturer, who has a different set of rules from somebody in the skilled trades. But I don't know of anyone who's paying the minimum wage, certainly for their employees who have skills.
One of our listener sends a note, says, good morning. I'd like to say your guests are against raising the minimum wage, so I would like to challenge them to keep $7.50 an hour and donate the rest of their wages for 1 year and see how they think about it then.
Well, the,
says Bob.
Wherever the texter is coming from, again, skill level. You get hired because you have a set of skills. If you improve your skills, or the skills you have bring an advantage, a business advantage to an organization, that's a positive. What can hold you back here in our general area is if people like to live here and the job is, let's say, internet designer, website consulting, design, graphical, whatever terms you want to come up with. Well, in our general area, you have a chance to learn or earn a good living. However, if you go to some areas outside New York City, outside Austin, Texas, outside San Jose, California, you can earn a lot more. However, it's going to cost you a lot more to live there. Technology allowing people to work remotely is a key. But one of the things about our area, and Bob, I know we sort of disagree on this, the brain drain, I have no problem with the brain drain in our area. Because if people are educated in our area and they go out, experience the world, get married, or choose, you know, get an occupation, or move back to the area with their family or as a single person, but bring their trades and skills and experiences back to the area, that brings back some diversity to our area. Somebody can start a new accounting firm. Somebody can open up, hang a shingle and be a lawyer, but it have, you know, it's had experiences outside the general, you know, area in some segment of the law, or come back with a manufacturing ideal. I said, hey, you know, this is a good place to set up and do that. So I would say the brain drain, you might want to look at that and say, hey, step back. What are the what assets does our area bring? What do we like? And most times I hear great place to raise a family. However, some of the larger companies have a tough time bringing some executives here. The hospitals, the large grocery chains have a tough time bringing some executives here because they say, you know, where in the heck is Central Pennsylvania? We love it, but sometimes it's a hard sell to the other people because some of the amenities that they're used to aren't here.
And that's one of the things the Chamber is working on all the time through our young professionals, through our diversity and inclusion initiatives, et cetera, is that folks don't feel like they've dropped onto a desert island, that they're in a place that's welcoming and open and inviting them mm-hmm. to be here, and that they can, you know, they can get the services here that they would expect to get anywhere that there are people living. So, hey, Mark, how about if I just let you know what's coming up the rest of this month at the Chamber? And then I'll get out of your hair, so to speak. Is we have a couple things with the Chamber I'd like to invite folks to participate in. On Thursday, the 23rd of this month, we are having a ribbon cutting with Nicole Spott, State Farm Insurance Agent. That's over on Chestnut Street in Mifflinburg. Then that evening, Ben, sneak peek of the new Three Beards Brewery. The Chamber is going to be one of the first organizations in there, actually pre-grand opening. They won't be open, completely open for business at the time. But something new we're trying, a networking event called Business on Tap. That's on Thursday, January 23rd from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at Three Beards. Three Beards is located right behind Spyglass Ridge Winery. And that's at 109 Carroll Road in Sunbury. Should be a lot of fun. And then
we've been able to be up there, Bobby and I've already had that sneak peek. And I would say to folks, if you can come out. It is a fabulous venue.
Right.
That they've built up there on top of the hill. Tom Webb and his folks have done an excellent job in getting that up and running, and it should be interesting. And we got to tour that with, of all people, Dick Knoble.
Yeah, that was
and
fun.
And he had some he interesting had some comments. What an engineer he is. Even at his age, he's engineering things.
Yeah, well, he engineered that tornado we've been hearing all about on the radio. But, hey, and then one last invitation for this month. On Tuesday, January 28th, that great big greenhouse that's under construction or is constructed out on 522 just outside of Sealands Grove. We'll be having a ribbon cutting there. Bright Farms is the name of the company, 10:30 a.m. to 12 noon, and that's located at number 1 Laurianne Drive in Sealands Grove. But you would know it as the giant greenhouse that has been constructed out along 522. So all those events, there's more information by visiting the Chamber's website at gsvcc.org.
All right, well, thank you. We'll see you at some of these. There's lots more Chamber events coming up, some of which are just for Chamber members and some are for the public, so we'd love to see people at a lot of these activities.
Yep. And come on out, and we'll engage in conversation.
All right, sounds great. Thank you so much. Bob Garrett, President and CEO of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, and always brings us our Financial Friday fabulous guest and information and cheat sheet. Local jobless numbers all doing satisfactory as well.
We didn't touch on those, did we, Mark?
Yeah,
I should just tell you that the key thing is that the Snyder County unemployment rate, as we expected, continues to drop and is now down to 5.1%. By the way, that's 1,000 people in Snyder County currently not working. Montour County, one of the lowest in the state at 3.7%. Union County at 4.2% and Northumberland County at 6%. So, by and large, large, we're at near full employment in the greater Susquehanna Valley. Still a couple folks in Snyder County that we're working with. They're getting the training. They're getting prepared to re-enter the workforce, laid off middle of last year, are now getting back to work.
And you want some 20-somethings to put the video console down and get a shower and go to work somewhere, right?
I want to see that participation rate up.
All right. Thank you so much, Bob Gettert.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming
in. Good to see you, Mark.
More of our show. We'll talk about the Sunbury Motor Company shortly. We'll have some news headlines. We'll open up the phones on WDKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Heritage Springs Memory Care invites you to an open house at their new Montoursville location. This Saturday from 10 till 4, enjoy refreshments, tours, and information on the spot. Everyone is welcome. Heritage Springs Memory Care is the region's only senior living community solely focused on people who have Alzheimer's and other dementias. Visit Heritage Springs Memory Care on Facebook to find out more about the open house this Saturday at their Montoursville location. Online at heritagespringspa.com.
Welcome back to WDKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. We really thank Mr. Bob Gettert. He pulls together these panels, and he had a great guest, Dr. Brown from Chatham University. So great to see somebody giving very, very appropriate, important, and timely call to action for women. On the Mark, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. It's a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And they invite you to do as I've done many times. And that's go to sunburymotors.com. I've made my appointments for the quick lane there. I made the appointments for the body shop and the alignment and the inspections. I got pumped up with nitrogen via online and built my next Ford Ranger. It's in a fabulous way. It's all ready. All I got to do is click the send, and we're good to go. But you can build a Ford of any species. You can build Mr. Ben. I'm going to put him in a new Explorer in the weeks and months ahead. You want Expedition? Okay.
No, Explorer is fine.
Okay. We got Hyundais, Kias, Lincolns, the E-Series at Ford that are all four-wheel drive, whether it's the Escort, Explorer, Excursion, Expedition, or blank that escapes me. Well, the E-Mustang's going to be coming out soon. So yeah, anything with an E at Ford is good. You can't spell Ford without an E in it these days. So just remember that. Go to the Sunbury Motor Company. Please enjoy wonderful hospitality there. They'll give you a cup of coffee and make you feel super comfortable.
Just spent time from here to Johnstown and back with a F-250 diesel hauling a trailer. And handled well, Interstate 80, 99, 22, 219, 56. Great run out in the snow, handled well.
Wow. You were on Route 56. Mm-hmm. You and seven other people this week. How about it? Good for you. Okay.
But, you know, where you get your kicks on Route 66.
66, okay.
So 10 away.
Some very brief news headlines here. Some people from Bucknell University were in Puerto Rico when the earthquake hit last week. 20 students and 3 staff were there. We contacted Bucknell University spokesman Mike Verlazo, who told us all of the students are safe. And they were in a retreat house about 2 hours from the epicenter of the quake. He said they did cut short their visit somewhat because they are there for the Bucknell Building Global Solidarity Puerto Rico Immersion Program. Elsewhere in Puerto Rico, AP says more than 2,000 people still living in shelters and A million are without electricity still there. Shikellamy School Board Thursday night voted on next year's budget. They got a lot of work to do first, Dr. Bendel.
I think we need to examine the budget, look at every single line item, and also we got to figure out ways to increase revenue and decrease expenditures. So we're going to work very diligently and be stewards of taxpayer dollars to get to a final budget in June.
Business manager David Sinopoli.
We will look at salaries. When I say salaries, we'll look at make sure we've got the positions that we truly need in the budget. We'll also take a look at some programs within the district, whether they be special education, regular education, but everything will be reviewed.
Also, new teacher contract agreed to 5 years of labor peace at Shikellamy School District in the years ahead. President Donald Trump is celebrating the killing of Iran Quds Force commander and is mocking Democrats for wanting to advance notice of military operations. Trump is holding his first campaign rally since the fatal drone strike he ordered against the Iranian Quds Force commander Qasem Soleimani. Trump says he took bold and decisive action to save American lives and is claiming that Soleimani was looking very seriously at further attacks on U.S. embassies beyond Baghdad. President Trump said, if you dare to threaten our citizens, you do so at your grave peril. Trump is mocking Democrats for criticizing his decision to kill Soleimani and says he didn't have time to give a heads-up call to the Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, alleging that she isn't operating with a full deck anyway, unquote. Reigniting a constitutional debate over war powers, the democratically controlled House approved a resolution yesterday asserting that President Trump seek approval from Congress before engaging in more action against Iran. The war powers resolution is non-binding on Trump and would not require his signature. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi nonetheless insists that it has real teeth because it's a statement of Congress of the U.S. The House approved the measure 224 to 194 with just three Republicans voting for it. Eight Democrats were opposed. The White House called the resolution ridiculous and completely misguided. And finally, here's a point to ponder. To what extent is Fox News Channel's Tucker Carlson responsible for President Trump stepping away from a potential war with Iran? The influential primetime host did not back the killing of the Iranian general Qasem Soleimani. Shortly after missiles flew Tuesday in the Iranian counterattack, Carlson hosted a show that mixed news coverage with implicit calls for presidential restraint. Sources say the president watched and has been influenced by Carlson's point of view. Carlson's attitude also pointed to the difficulty Fox faces in appealing to different strands of conservatism, one that is hawkish, and the America First contingent.
I would sort of say American First is not the hawkish contingent, and Carlson brings different information out. He chooses to, and his question is also on trusting of the bureaucracy of the deep state. So
Deep state is
the piles and piles and piles of bureaucracy and the people who have been there for decades, or
the
same culture that moves into decades, particularly in the State Department. But let's look,
AKA the swamp, right?
Yeah. Well, let's look at what we talked about in the economics. Here is the point that this administration has made a difference overseas, and you see these hair-on-fire media people and hair-on-fire the-sky-is-falling politicians, mostly Democrats, but some Republicans. And again, if we were in peril, our economy would be plateauing or moving down. The stock market would not be where it's at, particularly the NASDAQ and the S&P. You would not see the economic numbers based on, because the oil would be, per barrel, would be probably in the three digits. So, it was literally embarrassing. When I have Democrats who were calling me or texting me or in a conversation talking about how embarrassed this is, that you got people coming out and almost in a way supporting or trying to find a way to circumvent what we've done overseas. And then you start to get into semantics when you start to mix what the Obama administration and President Obama did in using drones and strikes compared to what this administration. But in 3 years, a little over 3 years, this administration has started to make America move forward in a lot of ways overseas, getting NATO aligned up and calling NATO out for what they were, a bunch of leechers. At times, they were leeching off the United States.
Although we gave them a job to do recently.
Well, yeah. And then now it's time for NATO to step up. But also, too, to say, hold it, Europe. Is the Middle East important to you? Well, hold it. We've been holding our fair share here. What about you folks getting into this? Is it, you know, Iran is being called out for what it is. It's a despicable country. Not the people, but the government and their leadership despicable. Death to America, wipe Israel off the map. Boy, that's a way to win friends and influence
people. Well,
they're
isolating themselves now. That much is...
And where are the Russians clear. And Chinese? They didn't come back and back Iran. Those folks are more than arm lengths away.
All right, we will take all comers and all opinions. We've talked about the minimum wage earlier. We're talking about Iran. The president had pretty decisive remarks to say about all of this last night at his rally. I watched a few minutes of it, and more assertive he could not be. And for that, many people are grateful. We had the latest jobless numbers out. They are good again, and the labor participation rate is still steady, but not because of old people getting out of the workforce, because of young people who aren't getting into it. So that's an interesting analogy. I like that. Maybe you think the minimum wage should go up. We'd love to hear from you. And we got the deep state / swamp trying to hold down the president, I guess, is a quick summary of what we've talked about. So give us a buzz right now if you'd like to weigh in on these topics. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Call us immediately. 1-800-795-9565. You are welcome to do as no one has done today, and that's email us at onthemark@wkok.com. And you can do what one individual has done, and that's text us at 70236. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Dale is the single most patient human in the world, as near as I can tell. Dale, thank you for waiting through the break. You are on the mark.
Yeah, I just say, I think government makes all the rules, and I just think that, only people who can really afford to run are paid to the corporations and, people with big money. So they're going to try to swing the game their way, and that's where inflation comes in. I just say, the middle class, the small businesses, for every dollar they got coming in, you add up their taxes and essential needs, it's 90 cents going out their pocket. When then you look at the tax breaks that the corporations and the rich got for every dollar that comes in, they got 10 cents going in.
No, Dale, no. No, I'm sorry. That is...
Ben can only take
No. There was reduction in the overall tax rates for businesses that corporations took it down to 25%. Individuals each got large tax.
But you're not,
when you look at small businesses,
compounding write-offs, Ben.
S corporations have benefited from the tax breaks. This isn't the rich. You folks that run around say the rich and corporations. This is not right.
It's the government writes the laws.
But the facts are not there.
I ain't got nothing against that, dude. I mean, really.
But small businesses have benefited from this.
Be honest and talk truthfully, clearly.
Okay.
I'm just telling you, inflation is killing. Okay, let's get back to the basics.
Inflation is held in check. It's been held in check. That's why in 2018, December 2018, when the Fed came out and said, we think there's going to be four increases, they stopped it.
The middle class. Why do you think they steered away from that?
They steered away from what? Raising the Fed rate?
No, why do you think they steered away from talking about blue-collar workers and middle class? Why do you think
who is steering away from it? The Trump administration or the media?
Ain't that the basics? Ain't that the basics, Ben? Ain't that used to be the driver of our economy? Today's driver of the economy.
Dale, they just talked about almost 3% effective wage increase in the year. And that's for the middle and lower wage earners. What else do you want?
Listen, Ben, you don't think the corporation with their tax cut, okay, with their tax cut, don't feel the effect of inflation with their tax cut they just got spent. You don't think any common sense on that.
How is inflation involved in the tax reduction? People have more in their paycheck.
I'm talking about
they pay less in taxes.
Compound deductions and all that. Well, if you're an individual, you're a middle class, you have basically no tools to work with to reduce your taxes, correct? Okay. It's nothing wrong with it. It ain't no class warfare. I'm just telling you.
The tax reduction.
Our government set up.
The tax reduction gives you that benefit. If you're a small business owner, you've gotten opportunities now. Now, what has happened in states like New York and California, they've capped the state tax that you can write off against your federal income tax. But why should the people in Delaware, or why should the people in Rhode Island or Kentucky or Pennsylvania pay for the ineptness of a state government in California and New York and Illinois when those people can write off more of their feds?
Middle class and small businesses are having a hard time in the way the government is running.
Goodness gracious, Dan. We just had people here talking about they can't get enough workers. People are coming back to get re-educated. The workforce is out there.
How long would a small business last in today's rules and economy? 1 or 2 years tops and they're done. They're belly
up. What type of business?
All their customers and their clients go to a corporation where they spider web out. On the expense of the taxpayer's dime from getting tax
money. Dale, what type of small business are you talking about? A service business, a manufacturing business? Right now, if you're making medical marijuana and you're effective and doing best practices, you can make a lot of money. If you're a good best practice.
Small little Joe got licensed to grow marijuana, Joe.
I'm going to have to stop you guys.
I tell you what, I'm glad it's Friday because this is confusing.
There was discrimination on that already. About 90% of the people who got come from wealth and are financially backed up are the ones that got the
Okay, Dale, a small business in this area, it's basically a ride program. They run a limo service and they provide it. A small business has been doing pretty well for probably over a decade now. So a small business that set up a farmer's market that somebody goes to. Your equation about inflation doesn't add up.
I ain't got nothing against anyone who succeeds. I'm just telling you, it's the way the game is, the rules are written, okay? It's either,
it's a rule problem.
Okay, please, can you, if you,
you
can,
either
could
got
you,
a big eat, boat, the small boats always get wiped out by the big boat's wave.
Well, please send email us those rules if you could, please.
Thank you, Dale.
Okay, you think a small boat's going to wipe out a big boat with their waves?
Oh, that's a good question.
I tell you what, the tide is lifting all the boats.
It's just the way that the rules are written, and we keep voting.
Please send us the rules, and we'll discuss those rules.
I wish I did know some rules. But
well, then how can you talk about the rules if you don't know the rules?
I'm just telling you, with inflation, in another 10 years, you're going to see
where is inflation? Look at the rate of inflation for the last 10 years.
You're going to see slums grow. That
is because they're government, Dale. The government policies. They're not taking care of the civil unrest when people can go and do that. That's not inflation.
Well, when you got manufacturing all being computerized, man, come on, man. It's not even fair. So the people who are actually using their hands and showing up pennies on the dollar.
There you go, guys. Sorry. Thank you so much, Dale. Thanks for calling in.
Send us those rules, and Mark will interpret them. Joe and Mark can interpret them next week, and then we'll discuss them on Friday.
All right, Ben, I didn't get any wage increase. Did you?
Don't know what your occupation is, but yes.
Well, you're employee-owned, so if the company rises, your salary rises a little bit. If the company sinks, your salary's flat.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're on the team.
And then the next one, yes.
One person said, yes, Iran probably did shoot down the plane. That certainly is a safe
statement.
Yeah, I
think they'll find out it's going to be a mistake that happened, and somebody in Iran probably...
No harm, no foul.
Well, there is a harm, and there's a lot of foul, and a lot of harm. Yeah, there's more than that, because 176 people also... Be interesting to look at the manifest. Who was on that plane? and see if there were some individuals. Again, you know, we can jump into the Twilight Zone or the X-Files type on this, but no, it most likely a mistake, and probably that that person or persons in the Iranian government are going to have to take some responsibility. We'll never hear of it.
One of our listeners says, I'm sorry the stock market might help the rich, but it does little for middle-class people.
Well, hard to define little here with this this texter, but again, look at where the teachers' pensions are invested and look at where union pensions
Well, teachers
overall
aren't middle-class anymore.
Well, and exactly. So for the this is a hard to define little, and the person, I believe, is a lot off balance here in the comment, because, no, it does help quite a bit.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. That summarizes the texts that we've received so far. We'll take more comers, 1-800-795-9565. Please call us immediately. We're talking about the, what were you two arguing about? We'll talk about something new.
Oh, inflations. But, yeah, okay. Maybe somebody can call us up and tell us how a stock market, particularly NASDAQ, S&P, not just Dow Jones, has not effectively helped almost the entire economy. Not just people who are invested directly, but indirectly. And when those companies do well, some of the smaller ones, and also, too, let's not just talk about Apple as Apple. Let's talk about Apple's suppliers. And let's look at the tentacles and the trickle-down that the left and the progressives seem to demean quite a bit. Let's look at the positives of when a company's doing well, that it goes down to the suppliers or all the way down to the restaurant luncheonette at the corner of the block from their corporate offices.
All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Please call us immediately. We got open phones. We would just love to talk to you.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Join News Radio 1070 WKOK Monday through Friday mornings from 8:30 till 10 for our live local telephone talk show, On the Mark.
It's important to follow the law in relation to anybody that comes and asks for entrance to the country. If that isn't working, I would like to see them change the laws. And it's not a Democrat-Republican thing. They just cannot agree on how to change a law.
On the Mark, weekday mornings from 8:30 till 10, only on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Yes, sound advice. Please listen to us. That's
we run our own commercial to promote ourselves.
Well, all right, so I hit the wrong button. Moving on.
Okay.
One of our good listeners says, Mark, you are way off base. 170 people dead, and you said no harm, no foul.
Yeah.
You have a one-way ticket, and it's not up.
Also, 64 Canadians. So mm-hmm. You had
we lost some friends. Well, I'm sure there's some Americans
Trudeau
on board
out there yesterday, and hopefully we'll know. You know, most likely we'll never know the real story.
But I just mean that there's it doesn't require retaliation. Unfortunately, it's somebody with an itchy trigger finger over there thought they were doing the right thing.
Well,
it doesn't necessarily escalate our tensions. It's certainly a terrible thing that happened.
Canadians could put a tariff on maple syrup.
Going to Iran.
Yeah, but no.
Do they currently trade with him?
Yeah.
Who's trading with Iran, honest to Pete?
The black market.
Or in Russia, and that's
the
it.
The black market. I think it's a born identity
kind of
movie.
Oh, I'm watching a Treadstone movie now. That's
just as good. That's pretty interesting.
1-800-795-9565, our open phone. We're talking about our booming U.S. economy, and we'll take all comers. 1-800-795-9565. What was that, 3.5% joblessness, lowest since 1969. 145,000 brand new spanking new jobs created. Dick, you are on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, I'm going to make this quick. At the beginning of your show, you guys were talking about, and Ben made a comment, who works 9 to 5 except government workers. You know, a lot of those government workers work in cities, and especially like Washington, they might drive two and a half hours one way, ride transit. Mm-hmm. So their eight hour job is actually sometimes 11, 12 hours till they get to work and get home.
And that's your choice. And that's your choice. And Dick, you know, your point, the question is, how many 9 to 5 jobs are there? So when you make that point, we get into the, you know, again, if you choose to do that, you choose. But how many 9 to 5 jobs actually are there? I don't know a whole lot. Is it mostly in government? Maybe. And again, most of the people I know are working from 8 to 5, whatever, or a half hour break. But yeah, if you choose to commute, that's your choice, Dick.
Okay. Good morning, Cindy. You're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. I don't consider myself an expert on these issues that have been discussed, but I will point out this. Pennsylvania has a massive, I think, $4 billion debt towards the pensions that we've promised state workers and the state university people and school district employees. And when the stock market does well, that the money that they have, that they take from us every year, that they take from the employees, is invested in the stock market. So when the stock market does well, then that fund grows, and it reduces the onerous debt back on the people, on the taxpayers.
Yes.
So whether you directly see an increase in your wallet, you see a benefit in an improving stock market because those investments should be doing better, and as a consequence, earning money and therefore reducing the amount of money that we'll have to pay out of our wallets to meet those promises.
Well, to a degree, but the part about Pennsylvania that's atrocious is its investing practices, and the returns on it have been so bad.
Underwhelming.
Underwhelming, but just horrendous. So, you know, the corruption is the corruption.
Yes. They hire these firms to do this investing, and what happens is the firm takes 10 for them and puts one back.
And they get horrible returns. So the point about it is that that should be sunshined, and we should really look at what the investments are. And Republicans and Democrats should stand up down there and call the governor on the carpet and say, hold it, we got to get this straightened out, because if we're getting returns of 2.5% and 3% and the market's giving us 7 and 8 or 5 and 6, why are we losing this? And who are these people investing? I mean, you want to talk about crony capitalism? It's right down there in our pension system. But,
exactly.
But Cindy, your point about it is, it's the ignorance of people, meaning not understanding. When somebody comes out and says the stock market doesn't help the little people, you're exactly right. It helps everybody, particularly in this pension crisis.
Well, another example is that school districts have what are called reserve funds. Another way to describe that would be savings accounts. And they, in the state of Pennsylvania, they've aggregated over $4 billion across all 500 school districts. They hold $4 billion in reserve funds. And what do they do with that money? Well, it's not in a drawer. It's in an account, and that money is being invested, and it's earning. It's earning money. And what happens is that money flows back then to the school district relative to how much they have invested. And it's hopefully the intent would be to reduce the demand to raise local property taxes. So, again, there is another example how if the stock market flourishes, that can help every single person. Of course, let's go back to what Governor Rendell said when he was in office. 40% of the people, 40% of the people in this state don't pay state taxes. They don't pay income taxes. So they don't feel the pressure that all of this spending and whether or not the stock market succeeds, they don't feel that benefit because they're not chipping into the problem.
I agree.
I get that.
No, I agree.
I get that they don't appreciate that. But for a lot of working you know, Jane's and Dick's. It's a benefit, whether they see it in more money in their wallet or less debt being heaped on them and their children, you know.
Yep.
That's the difference.
Well, thank you so much, Cindy. Thanks for being a great caller today and a fabulous point. I wouldn't think about that. Actually, what we should have school districts is just develop about $50 million in surpluses and just live off of it.
Maybe, Mark, if you were a school director, would you take your rainy day fund, make a legal bet in Las Vegas on the LSU Tigers to beat the Clemson Tigers on Monday night?
I'm LSU all the way.
Okay.
Many people who commute to work do not have a choice. They cannot afford to live in an area near where they work. Secondly, last week, CNBC, it was stated that millionaires own 75% of the stock market. They are profiting the most from current policies.
Listen to the last caller, and again, people choose to commute, and they choose that. That's their choice.
You're listening to WKOK. Okay, Sunbury, thanks for listening to On the Mark.